From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, incentivized unemployment, censorship in the military, and the media attempts to cancel Promise Keepers. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. On Monday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins laid the groundwork for the first segment of today's show.
On Friday, the U.S. Labor Department released the April jobs report, and even Biden-friendly media outlets had to agree that it was disappointing. Not only did the U.S. economy bring back far fewer jobs than estimated in April, the unemployment rate also increased. But rather than admit that the report is a reflection of their policies, the Biden administration went out on the Sunday shows to try to defend it. Here's more of what the Secretary of Commerce had to say on Face the Nation.
On unemployment, there are a lot of people who believe that the unemployment relief that people are getting is hurting in the job market. Essentially, people are keeping unemployment instead of going to look for work. Is there any discussion within the administration about tweaking that or doing anything to remove that as a barrier to jobs?
Obviously, we are monitoring that, but at this point, there's nothing in the data which would suggest that that's the reason people are out of work. By the way, we have to remember that when the president moved to make this happen, this unemployment insurance has been a lifeline, a survival, you know, lifeline for so many Americans. The number one reason now that people aren't going back to work is what you said, fear, or they can't find childcare or schools are still closed.
The president also today defending the numbers, saying no evidence to suggest that their policies are to blame. Here's what he had to say.
Our economy can't achieve its full potential until we get more people vaccinated.
So the key is more vaccinations. But we just saw the president speaking to a joint session of Congress in which there were only 200 gathered in the House auditorium, the House chambers, that would fit 1,700. And they're all vaccinated. The messages are mixed. Joining me now to talk more about this, Congresswoman Jackie Lewarski. She is she represents the 2nd District of Indiana, and she serves as a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. Jackie, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's an honor to be with you. And, you know, I'm shocked when I hear these statements from the president and from his administration. We couldn't be farther from the truth. And, you know, I've seen this in my district around the state of Indiana. We're about 85% open in Indiana. We would be 100% open if the employers, both the mom and pops and the large production and the large companies, our RV companies and our boats and trailers and all the things that we produce, they can't hire. And so when I hear the president talk about it's not their policies, well, you show me somebody in the state of Indiana that can compete with the federal government and make $17.50 an hour staying home, and I'll show you the cause of the problem. We have got to get people back to work and drop that extension of that unemployment. It is literally paralyzing this country.
Jackie, I've heard the same thing as I have talked to business owners who are out looking for employees and saying, you know, we're the government is incentivizing people not to work when you're talking about
Absolutely. This
level of government unemployment being provided on top of other benefits that are being given right now.
That's right. I've never seen anything like it. So, you know, one of the things that we offered through Ways and Means is we offer to go back to work bonus. Take $1,600, go back to work, get back in the workforce. You know, in the state of Indiana, Tony, we've been back in school since October of last year. And, you know, when it comes to our workforce, our economy was zooming back. Our workforce was zooming back. This administration has not even been in power for 6 months, and they are destroying this economy. And between not being able to hire and the prices that are going through the roof as we see inflation hitting our state in our country, by next summer, we're not going to recognize this place, Tony, and it has everything to do with the quality of life for American families. So I think it's really important that we talk about it and that we really start engaging on the bad policy coming out of Washington.
the speaker, Nancy Pelosi, her response to these anemic job numbers. Now, I just want people to understand what we're talking about here. They were predicting a million new jobs as we were continuing to run on the benefits of the Trump tax cuts. And then, of course, that was creating the lack of the reduction on regulations. The economy was starting to move back after being shut down. But the numbers, instead of a million new jobs, it was a quarter of that, 250,000, 266,000 jobs. And this is horrendous because this is the lowest or the biggest miss they've ever made in these predictions. Nancy Pelosi said, oh, we just need more programs. We need more government, which is the very thing that's weighing down the economic growth and revitalizing of our economy.
Absolutely. You know, every single bill they have, Tony, that has come in front of say the House, you know, they're all partisan. They've not invited Republicans to the table. You know, just 6 months ago, Tony, we were talking about billions. When we talked about budgets, we were talking about billions. Within right. 6 months, we are talking $1 trillion, and not just spending, trillions of dollars in deficits. And their answer to this whole equation has been, let's throw money to people whose vote we can get and let's hold them and keep them locked into this thing until next November. But I'm telling you what the American people, the American people have their ears on. They're listening. I'm telling you, if we could work together, we could get on the other side of this, turn this thing around and be looking at next year with COVID in the rearview mirror and the American dream in front of us, all of us in this country. That is not where we're going unless they stop what they're doing and allow us to come to the table.
Congresswoman Walarski, don't you see part of this is they create a problem and then they claim to solve it? I mean, for instance, you heard the Secretary of Commerce saying, well, the reason is that people are fearful. They mothers can't work, return to the workforce because of schools, because in the president saying the vaccine. Look, all the teachers, they've had the opportunity to be vaccinated, but yet there's evidence that the CDC is collaborating with teacher unions to keep schools shut.
Well, I'll tell you what, elections have consequences, like you know. And I would tell these people across the country, if you're in a state that is shut down and your kids aren't back in school and your companies aren't reopening and nothing is happening, you're going backwards and you're stagnant, I would be calling up those governors around this country and telling them exactly what needs to happen and from one of their voters that can hold them accountable. We are in a dangerous situation in this country. And, you know, it scares me being on the Ways and Means Committee and seeing the numbers that we see and trying to envision getting through this summer without full employment back to work and then looking at next summer. With just 6 months ago, under the Trump administration, we had the lowest unemployment we'd ever seen in any kind of category. And within not even six months, here we are looking at devastation because of horrible policy, partisan rhetoric, a left curve going off the spectrum where we've never been before as far as how left-handed these policies are. We have got to stand up and start taking this head on and having the American people putting pressure on the speaker and their own representatives. This is a fight that we better be in now and head this off or it's going to get out of control.
Congressman, you were talking about how there's no collaboration. There's no sitting down. The president says he wants unity, but yet he's not talking. In fact, I think the first meeting took place today with some Republican leaders to discuss the infrastructure bill that's been out there for over a month and a half. But for every big government plan that the Democrats are putting out there that costs trillions, as you pointed out, and that's not an exaggeration, the Republicans have plans that fix the need, but without massive government spending. For instance, you talk about greater flexibility for parents in childcare. You've got a bill that you introduced that would help with that without deficit spending and big government programs.
That's right. You know, allowing people to put more money aside that's tax-free that they can use and they can direct. We've got money. There is money coming, Tony, probably from five different pots right now, whether it's from the COVID Democratic pots or a policy that we're suggesting, which is allowing parents to save money in very creative ways and to use different tax credits to be able to pay for childcare. But I'll tell you what, in the state of Indiana, where I represent in northern Indiana, our kids have been back in school, our families are going back to work, and we're to the point where if we don't cut those extension of the unemployment benefits from the federal level, that is literally ruining families, and it's ruining economies and local areas. If we don't do that and allow parents to get the help that they need but get on with their lives, we're hurting our country, and we're going to see so much damage that happens. It's going to be difficult to get back on top of it. You know, I just saw this weekend as I was driving through Indiana, gas is $3 a gallon. Well, bad policy. You know, President Biden, you know, killed the Keystone pipeline. The minute he got in office, it was one of his first executive orders. Now we have an attack on another pipeline. And here we sit with the president crippled, looking at a large loss. And, you know, doesn't it even move him to say, let's double down, let's buckle down, let's get serious about turning this country around, let's get serious about this and get off the left-wing agenda? He has not done that. And I'm telling you, there is danger ahead. Republicans are doing as much as we can. We're filing good bills, Tony. They won't listen to our bills. They won't bring them down. But you know what? Having the advantage to sit and talk to the American people on your show gives us a great pipeline of information to Americans on how to turn this around. And we are fighting for them. We do have their back every single day. We continue this fight until we turn this around, which could be next November, but it will happen.
Can't be soon enough. Congresswoman Walarski, thanks so much for joining us. Jackie, always great to talk with you.
You too, Tony. Take care.
You can find out more about Representative Walarski when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We also invite you to join Tony Perkins every morning on Facebook as he shares a devotional from our two-year Bible reading plan. And you can be a part of that reading plan. Just look for details over at TonyPerkins.com.
Stay up to date on what's happening at Family Research Council by downloading our Stand Firm app. We share all of our latest content there, so it's easy for you to have all you need in one place. See the latest tweets, articles, videos, radio programs, and blog posts all in one spot. Visit the App Store on your phone and search for FRC's Stand Firm app to get a conservative, biblically informed source for what is happening in our nation's capital. Download the Stand Firm app today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. The U.S. Army has reprimanded a chaplain who used his personal Facebook page to question the repeal of President Trump's transgender military policy. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to discuss the move is Mike Berry, Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs at First Liberty Institute.
Mike, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again.
And Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
All right. Tell us about this case, what's happening and what the chaplain is doing and how our viewers and listeners can help.
Well, pure and simple, this case is about the United States Army punishing a chaplain, a decorated chaplain at that, for simply expressing his sincerely held religious beliefs consistent with the teachings of his denomination. And might I add, consistent with Department of Defense policy at that time. On January 25th, when Chaplain Calvert made a comment on an Army Times Facebook post. So the Army Times posted an article on Facebook and left the comments open for the public. And Chaplain Calvert, using his personal Facebook page, commented on the article, saying that essentially he supported the Department of Defense policy at that time, which was that people with a history of gender dysphoria were medically disqualified from serving in the military. And he said that he supported that policy. And the Army decided that that viewpoint, even expressed by a chaplain in accordance with his sincerely held religious beliefs, was impermissible, and they punished him for it. And now he faces the end of his career as a result.
Now, Mike, isn't this reminiscent of what we saw during the Barack Obama years?
Yeah, it's the hits keep on coming. You know, history is now repeating itself. Many of us predicted that incidents like this would probably occur under a Biden administration. We hoped that they would not. We hoped that religious freedom would still remain strong in our military. And, you know, despite a lot of the rhetoric and platitudes that we heard, here we are. Chaplains, I mean, what's next? Are they going to go after chaplains for what they say from the pulpit during chapel services?
When you what they found in this investigation, that he violated AR 600-20, that doesn't mean anything to most people, but he engaged in discrimination. And then also he engaged in online misconduct by simply stating that he supported the current policy and was opposed to what might be the policy under the Biden administration.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what's even more important to point out, Tony, is that, during the Trump administration, we had uniformed members of our military marching in political rallies and political parades in uniform, expressing openly their opposition to their commander in chief's policies. And that was all considered to be perfectly acceptable and, in fact, something that should be celebrated and applauded by many in the military and in the media. And now you have a chaplain who expresses his support for who at that time at that time was the existing policy of the Department of Defense, and now he's being punished. This just goes to show you're only really allowed to have one point of view and one perspective. And it doesn't matter, even if you have a religious objection, right, to where the policy might be heading somewhere in the future, if you express your religious views openly and you happen to be a member of the military, they will come after you. Even if you use your personal Facebook page, Chaplain Calvert's Facebook page disclaims any endorsement by the Army. It says, this is my personal Facebook page. I'm only speaking as Andrew Calvert, not as a member of the armed forces, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, it doesn't matter. We think you violated the law. It doesn't matter that you're a chaplain and that you're required by your denomination to hold to these views. The fact that you put it on Facebook, your career is over. That's unacceptable in this country.
You know, Mike, I think it's an extremely important point in contrasting what took place during the Trump years. And I was critical of the Trump administration and being slow to clean up the Department of Defense. They never did get it done. And it's quite frankly, it's because what was in the pipeline after 8 years of Barack Obama, where they purged conservative officers and you had all those politically correct officers in the pipeline. It would have taken another 4 years to really clean it up. But I want to go back to something you talked about with in terms of a chaplain and his messages, his preaching. Is this what we see here, the canary in the coal mine when it comes to the free speech of chaplains?
Well, I mean, I certainly hope not, but I don't see how it can be viewed any other way. I think the purge is only going to continue. And I certainly wouldn't put it past those in leadership right now in the executive branch and in the Pentagon to start going after chaplains for what they preach from the pulpit, start going after chaplains for what they put, again, in their personal Facebook page. Or are they going to start looking in chaplains' diaries to see, hey, what are you writing in your diary? This is the equivalent of the thought police coming after a chaplain for what they say in their personal capacity. And we know that that's exactly what the far left wants to happen. They want to root out and purge, just as you said, right, anybody who holds a view contrary to what they believe is the only acceptable view for people to be in public service, including our military. And the bottom line is that is going to hurt our military. That is going to cause people to turn away from military service. We're already seeing problems with recruiting and retention. And if that continues, that's a national security concern we need to be very, very attentive to.
That's absolutely right. Mike Berry, thanks so much for joining us. Great work, First Liberty. Appreciate you representing this chaplain. We want to encourage people to stand with you as you do that. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about the case of Chaplain Andrew Calvert and support his position when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. The Stand on the Word 2-year Bible reading plan takes you through the Scripture every day in an engaging manner. Start reading with FRC today. When you sign up, we text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Using personal influence to sway political viewpoints is part of who we are as Americans. The council culture, however, uses giant corporations to force viewpoints on others. Such is the case with USA Today as they try to get the Promise Keepers event this summer in Dallas canceled. Here's Tony Perkins along with Promise Keepers Chairman and CEO Ken Harrison.
Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's good to see you.
So you're asking men to stand up and act like men.
It's horrific. That's
unbelievable.
Yeah. We stand for biblical marriage. We stand for the definition of male and female according to the Bible. And we don't want to exclude anybody. That's the source of the attack, is that people aren't going to be welcome. We're saying bring everybody. Everybody wants to hear the gospel. Anybody who Jesus would have preached to, we want to preach to. So everyone's welcome to come. But we are going to be preaching the gospel clearly and authentically. And I did have one leader call me and say that he wanted us to assure him that nobody would be offended at our event. And I said, we're going to preach the gospel. So if no one's offended, then we didn't do a very good job. So there you go.
I mean, it's amazing to me in a culture that is having so many problems. I mean, when you look at what happened throughout last summer, the implosion in our cities, the rioting, the lawlessness, the lack of godly men and the influence in our homes, that an organization that, you know, has a pretty good track record of standing up and calling men to be godly men and affecting marriages, families over this three decades that they've been around, how can that be controversial?
You know, I was a policeman in Los Angeles in South Central LA back in the 80s and 90s in the Watts Compton area. And I saw what happens when boys are not raised by fathers. And I would tell people all the time, they ask me, what was it like to be in the middle of the Crips and Bloods gang wars? And I say, you know, you had 90% of the people who were really good people. It was a very Christian church going culture of South Central LA, held hostage by 10% of violent, angry, driven young men with no discipline. And that's where we're heading unless men don't start to raise their kids and have biblical values and start to be unpopular with their kids every once in a while because they stand for what's right. Because what we're seeing now in the culture and in the press is that 13, 14-year-old kids should know better about what they should do than adults, and they don't. And that's one thing I have seen over and over in life, is that kids need adults to guide them and to help them make wise choices.
Promise Keepers has a storied history of reaching men, changing families, and having an impact. What is the left afraid of when it comes to Promise Keepers?
Yeah, so to complete the last thought, and that, because it goes right to your question, which is that seeing 50,000 men sing those songs, not only do you feel the power of the Lord collectively as we're meant to feel the power of the Lord, but men are reminded they're not alone. And that's what they're afraid of. They don't want us to see that we're not alone. In fact, that millions and millions of people love Jesus. They love scripture. They love the biblical way of life. And they want to keep us divided. They keep on telling us that we're defeated. Just sit there, be complacent, and we won't bother you. And we're saying, no, we're going to start to rise up and stand for Christ. Where did the Bible ever tell us we were supposed to be popular or convenienced or comfortable? In fact, Jesus promised us that if we were really standing up for scripture, we would have enemies. And I ask Christian men all the time, do you have any enemies? If you don't, maybe you're not doing it right. I mean, Tony, you have enemies. Terry Boykin has enemies. I have enemies.
We have a few of them, yeah. But, you know, you really hit it on the head. I think they want us to feel like we're alone. Because when you're alone, typically, not all men, but typically, you know, as we're described as sheep, we go silent. We become easily intimidated when we're alone. But when we're together, courage breeds courage. And when you've got the courage to live out biblical truth in a very hostile culture, that is contagious. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that's what they're afraid of.
Well, it's like, you know, I mean, you're an ex-Marine, right? I mean, you look at how small the Marine Corps is, but how incredibly effective they are at fighting wars, because these are men who are highly disciplined, who understand what the goal is, and they stick together and go for it. But the church today has been so divided. And I say this to pastors all the time. I was just speaking to a huge pastors conference last week. If you look at when the Americans started to go west from the Civil War and take land from the native tribes, the Blackfeet still kept fighting with the Sioux and the Arapaho kept fighting with the Cheyenne. And one day they woke up and all their land had been taken and their freedom was gone. And if we as the church don't start to unify and stop arguing about silly little things and start to pay attention to what's important in God's eyes, the same thing's going to happen to us. And so that's what we're doing. That's what the left is afraid of, is they don't want to see us unified and stand strong, because we are really a powerful force for the Lord and for our children if we would just unify, stop arguing about nonsense, and stick together.
You know, I look back on those big events that I attended, in Boulder, and I knew what was going on in culture. I was actually I was a television reporter at that time in Baton Rouge, and I remember the trends. That was during the Clinton administration, and we saw the things happening there. I mean, things are a lot worse here as we're in 2021. How critical is this moment in terms of men, Christian men, being bold, being courageous, and living out their Christian faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. You think about, this will be the first major gathering in the world after COVID. If we sell out, that's 80,000 men will be together. And imagine the statement to the whole world who's wondering what happened to America when they see American men getting together to worship Jesus. And I would just say to all the women out there who are watching, 45% of the tickets that were bought in the 90s were bought by women to send their husbands and their sons to this event, because we are not teaching misogyny. We're not teaching chauvinism. We're teaching men to lay down their lives, to be godly leaders to their family, to teach their children the word of God, to cherish and love their wives. The stories we have of men coming home and going to their wives and saying, "Oh, baby, I am so sorry. I had no idea how screwed up I was." There's thousands and thousands of repaired marriages and kids who are blessed by their fathers who had been alcoholics or workaholics or whatever, abusive, who are utterly changed. That's what Promise Keepers is about. It's amazing that anybody would be threatened by that.
Ken, thanks for standing firm. I was so encouraged to see you leading this and to not wavering one bit. So we're going to be praying for its success and encouraging people to be there and be a part of it.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.